This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang for Tuesday, January 10th, 2012. It's time for another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hello again, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer, with the latest in tabletop gaming headlines. Whee! Looney Labs has announced a brand new Flux game. It is Oz Flux. The game of ever-changing rules transports you, your friends, and your little dog Toto, too, into Frank L. Baum's magical world. Does life seem drab and humdrum? Let the Cyclone of Flux, the ever-changing card game, whisk you away to a magical world of fun and wonder. Mingle with munchkins, make new friends, help them with their quests, and follow the yellow brick road to seek the wizard's help for your own heart's desire. But beware the flying monkeys, fighting trees, and fields of poppies. Don your green spectacles to enter the Emerald City, and keep a bucket of water handy. You never know when you'll run into a wicked witch that needs melting. Next stop, the Land of Oz. You'll be off to see the wizard in late March of 2012 with Oz Flux. Back in November, Osprey Publishing announced a new division, Osprey War Games. Now they've opened their doors for game submissions. Let the flood commence. Even if your rules aren't finished, they are always looking for projects for the future. So if you have a game that's almost there or the seed of a fantastic idea, Osprey would love to hear from you. So feel free to get in touch. The Osprey War Games books are 64 pages long, the same as their Elite series of books, and the word count should be in the 22,000 range. Apart from that, though, pretty much anything goes. They know there are some amazing homebrew games out there, and they're looking forward to helping produce them as the high-quality books they deserve to be. Email wargames@ospreypublishing.com with any inquiries, and keep watching their website for more news. I'm taking a guess, although it's not mentioned in their release, Osprey is probably looking to receive historical miniatures rules, or miniatures rules of some sort, given the nature of many of Osprey's past and present titles. But if in doubt, shoot them an email and find out. Vampire the Masquerade exploded on the hobby scene in 1991 and inspired a generation of fans of which the game industry had never seen before, and in all honesty, hopefully never again. The cultural significance Vampire left on not just the gaming world, but on modern vampire-related pop culture can be seen and felt at virtually every turn and in every medium today, good and bad. Vampire the Masquerade 20th Anniversary Edition brings the entire World of Darkness experience full circle and will serve as a perfect anniversary milestone to celebrate two decades of gaming after dark. This is the original Masquerade in all its glory, and their way of saying thank you and welcome home. Vampire the Masquerade 20th Anniversary Edition is now available in multiple print formats at drivethrurpg.com. In addition to the PDF format, you can also get the book printed in black and white, soft or hardcover, or a two-volume full-color hardcover edition. In other RPG news, the Flames Rising shop at RPG Now has over 20 games for $12 each. The new year is a perfect time to try a new game, so why not check out these great deals? You can save some serious dough on titles from White Wolf, Archaia Entertainment, Pelgrane Press, Green Ronin, Eden Studios, Cubicle 7, and our pals over at Crafty Games and AEG. There are some amazing deals included in this promotion, and it's the perfect chance to stock up on games you may have always been curious about but didn't pick up when they first launched, such as Artesia, Adventures in the Known World, or Dark Ages, Vampire. There are some amazing deals on newer games as well. Spectrum Games' Lovecraftian Macabre Tales and Pelgrane Press's Ashen Stars are obviously well worth picking up. At $12 each, you're looking at huge discounts on some of these core products, and most of them have never been marked down this much before, and probably will never be marked down this much again. For example, you can pick up Legend of the Five Rings 4th Edition, which I gave a great review right here on the Gaming Gang website. It's from AEG, and it's normally $59.99 for a print version, and normally sells for $35.99 as a PDF. At $12, that's 65% off the already discounted PDF price. The Burning Empires RPG sells for $45 in print and $23.99 in PDF, so you can save about 50% off of that game, and that one's almost never on sale. So what are you waiting for? Stop by the New Year New Game Sale today and get over 20 books for $12 each. You only have 3 days left to save, so head on over to flamesrising.rpgnow.com right now and select the link in the upper left corner that says New Year, New Game Sale. Gunship First Strike will take to the stars on Kickstarter in mid-February, but it isn't too early to start taking a look at the project now. If you like the drama of sci-fi space combat, when the battle depends on getting those shields online, fighting your way through the enemy fleet, and hitting the bullseye with your last torpedo to win the day, you'll love Gunship First Strike. Gunship First Strike is Escape Pod Games' core release in a planned series of tactical space combat games. Players fight to win battles in a futuristic civil war with a variety of ship types, from the agile and speedy fighters to versatile gunships and powerful assault carriers. Every battle is a well-balanced slugfest that comes right down to the wire. Two carrier groups emerge from hyperspace at the same time, with the same forces and the same orders. Only one side is going to survive this day and complete their mission. Tough, deadly, and completely customizable. You decide what weapons and armor your gunship will carry at the start of the battle. There are dozens of combinations for every type of player. When the battle changes or you take too much damage, you can always land inside your carrier, repair, rearm, and come back swinging. Swift and alert, fighters are used mainly as escorts for the gunships and carriers. Although their weaponry is not as powerful, they can be effective when they attack in a swarm. The carriers serve as bases for the smaller ships and have the big guns needed to pound each other's shields. Defend your carrier well. Once it's gone, you've lost the battle. Use every ship and weapon at your disposal to turn the enemy battle group to scrap. When the opposing carrier is destroyed, victory is yours. Gunship First Strike is a card game that utilizes dice and boards in a new and exciting way. It's a space battle between two players that'll last between 30 and 45 minutes, and it's customizable, innovative, and highly expandable. Most importantly, it's also well-balanced. Most games are going to be won by less than a handful of hit points. It's also flexible, so it's a great game to start the night out with or have fun playing all day long in campaign mode. And if you like to blow things up, the variety of ship-mounted heavy weapons make it perfect for you. Gunship First Strike is generating a lot of buzz pre-Kickstarter launch, so I recommend popping over to escapepodgames.com to get a look at what's coming to Kickstarter next month, and keep your eyes peeled for a sneak peek on the Gaming Gang website in the next couple of days. A London taxi driver hopes he could be on the verge of achieving global success after inventing a board game based on the Tower Bridge. Jim Walker, who grew up close to the landmark crossing, has had his game produced by games licensing specialist GamesPlayUK.com. Bridge Up goes on sale to the public this year. Players collect lettered tokens, and the winner's the first to race back to their dock and complete the words, Bridge Up. Mr. Walker, 53, from Sidcup, said, I lived by Tower Bridge for more than 33 years, so I set about with this idea of a board game. Well, on a quick note to Mr. Walker, I think I'd put those dreams of global success on hold for a bit longer, given the nature of your game. Yes, I'm traveling the board to collect letters. Whee! Not. And Gamesplay UK doesn't exactly have a stellar track record of releasing anything worthwhile. Sorry, mate. And finally, according to Discovery News and the journal Antiquity, board games were never a pastime of the common man and woman, but were playthings of the rich and powerful. Courtesy of news.discovery.com, competitive board games, played on the ground, on the floor, or on boards, emerged as pastimes for the elite, with the Roman Empire spreading their popularity throughout Europe, according to a new study. The study, published in the journal Antiquity, mentions that board games likely originated and disseminated from Egypt and the Fertile Crescent regions at around 3500 BC. From there, they spread around the Mediterranean before reaching the Roman Empire in what is now Europe. Based on the archaeological record, board games didn't even reach Britain until the very end of the 1st century BC from newly conquered Gaul. At the time, Gaul was a region encompassing present-day France, Belgium, most of Switzerland, and other areas. Not just anyone could play board games then either. Many of the first board games appear to have been diplomatic gifts to signify status, co-author Mark Hall told Discovery News. We have early examples of quite splendid playing pieces belonging to elite, privileged people. Hall said the world's oldest known board game could be the Royal Game of Ur, also known as the Game of 20 Squares. It was discovered in the royal tombs of Ur in Iraq. Although no one knows what the earliest rules for the game were, it's thought to have been a predecessor to today's backgammon. Another early game was Senet from pre-dynastic Egypt. Its game board, an example of which was found in King Tutankhamun's tomb, consists of a grid of 30 squares arranged in 3 rows of 10. The earliest rules again are a mystery, although different versions of the game are still played today. Another early Egyptian board game, Mihen, featured lion-shaped pieces and marbles. As the popularity of such games spread, the names often reveal a connection to the Roman Empire. Hall, an historian at the Perth Museum and Art Gallery, and colleague Catherine Forsyth said many derive from the Latin word tabula, meaning gaming board or counter. Hey, from now on, I'm going to call the chits and counters tabula all the time, just to throw people off. The researchers point out that in the UK, no archaeological evidence supports the existence of board games until the 1st century BC. One of the most significant finds shortly thereafter of early gaming equipment in Britain, they say, comes from the so-called Doctor's Grave of Stanway in Colchester, England. The grave, dated to 40 to 50 AD, contained a gaming board with 26 glass counters, apparently laid out on it as if for play. Although the board games followed on the coattails of the Roman conquests of Europe, they came to reflect the cultural and social contexts of particular regions, Hall said. Early playing pieces from places like Scandinavia and Scotland took on stylistic elements of the cultures of those regions. For example, 2-faced decorated stone cones were found within a dry stone hollow-walled structure from the 5th to 7th century AD, Shetland, Scotland. The anthropomorphized pieces have a distinctly Celtic look. Bruce Whitehill, founder of the Association of Game and Puzzle Collectors and the inventor of numerous board games, added that the origin of many ancient games may also be traced to China and India. The game of India, one of the most widely played games in the world, is centuries old, though its date of origin is still a matter of speculation, he pointed out. He continued that Go, an ancient game from China, became the national game of Japan and has earned a great following in the United States. In terms of U.S. history, Whitehill believes no commercially produced board game has been found in the U.S. prior to 1822, when 2 games, Traveler's Tour Through the United States and Traveler's Tour Through Europe, were produced by New York booksellers F&R Lockwood. No other board games were manufactured for the next 21 years in the country until a small Massachusetts publishing company produced a then-popular game called The Mansion of Happiness, which had a moral theme. Whitehill explained, "Those who pursue vice are punished, sent back on the board, and those who possess admirable virtues are rewarded." I'd say this study published in Antiquity makes sense to me. Obviously, the populace throughout the ancient and medieval world had a lot better things on their mind. Oh, say, like playing the real game of life in an attempt to stay alive each and every day so they could live to the ripe old age of 35. That's it for today's news. I'll be back tomorrow, and until then, I hope you enjoy a terrific Tuesday. The Daily Dope is presented by The Gaming Gang, located at thegaminggang.com. Any similarities to an actual news program are certainly unintentional and, in fact, accidental.